When you look into God's holy word, one of the things that you realize is that all of creation acknowledges that the Lamb is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. John the Revelator, in the fifth chapter, he began to see all of creation. I mean, he saw the birds. He saw everything that flew, every animal, every creature on the earth. That includes the dogs, the cats, the cows, the goats, the sheep. He saw everything under the earth. That includes all the moles and the worms and everything. Every creature said, "Worthy is the Lamb." Amen. You know, we live in a day much like it was in the days of Isaiah. You know, the ass knows his master. The ox knows his owner. But today, people don't know that Jesus Christ is worthy of honor and glory and praise. They don't realize that it was through Him that all things were created, and without Him was not anything created that was created. In Him is life, and in Him is life, and not only is the life that we need to be saved, but the life to live this life. I'm thankful tonight that I know Jesus Christ as my Lord. I'm thankful tonight that we can come together, we can praise Him, and we can worship Him, and we can glorify His name. There may be somebody here tonight, and you've never been saved. Somebody here who doesn't know the Lamb that was slain. Somebody doesn't know that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I pray that tonight will be the night that you'll look, to Him who was crucified for you, that you might be saved. Be reading tonight from the 46th Psalm, the 46th Psalm, beginning in verse 1. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to read along with me. This is one of my favorite Psalms. There's several promises that are contained within this Psalm, but also it's been a Psalm that has helped during times of great calamity. It was this Psalm that I read when we had the flood here in Nashville. There was just a few of us that assembled together, and we had difficulty getting to church, and Drake's Creek had flooded Galton Road, and we saw a lot of devastation just right before us. And I'll never forget Brother James Jones. He said, "Preacher," he came up to me, he said, I normally don't tell a preacher what to preach." He said, "But you need to preach a fast one." And so that morning I preached from the 46th Psalm. This Psalm tells us that no matter what kind of calamity, no matter what kind of disaster, whether it is national, whether it is geographical, whether it's political, no matter what kind of trouble or wars or difficulties we go through, Jesus is there with us. He is a refuge. God actually likes referring to Himself as a place of refuge, a place of shelter. A place where we can find safety. Tonight, if you're not in Jesus Christ, you're in an unsafe place. Those of us who have fled for refuge and laid hold of eternal life, we know that Jesus Christ is a safe place. We fled to Him because of the condemnation and the sin that was upon our lives, because of the power of the gospel and because of the convicting of the Holy Spirit. We realized that we were distant from God and that God had placed us in a state of condemnation. And we looked to Jesus, we turned to Jesus, and those of us who trusted in Jesus, we found ourselves safe from that condemnation. There's no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. This psalmist begins to talk about some of the most horrific calamities that could possibly transpire geographically. He begins to talk about, in the first few verses, about mountains. I mean, mountains literally being uprooted and placed in the very heart of the sea. He begins to talk about flooding to the degree that mountains begin to quake and shake because of the terribleness of the flooding. But through all that, he tells us that we have a refuge. There's nothing for us to fear. Nothing for us to fear. This psalm, I think, has great relevance, especially with respect to such men as John Wesley. John Wesley was on a boat in the Atlantic, and there was a great storm. And he began to fear his life, and he thought he was a Christian. He thought he was saved. He saw a group of people gathered together, a group of true Christians. I believe they were Movians that gathered together, and they were praying. They were praising God, he said in his journal, fearlessly. And he looked upon that scene during that time of trouble, during that time of a great turbulence, a great tempest. And he felt like that his soul was in danger. Yet there were those on the boat that were in a little circle and they were praying. Some of them were on their knees and they had great confidence and they took great refuge in God. And he realized through that he was missing something, that he didn't have something that he needed, and he finally found it later on. Listen, those of us that are really saved, there's a place that God abides with us deep in our soul, where he gives us help, he gives us strength, he gives us peace, he gives us grace. There's a place within us, a place of refuge within us, a place that the devil cannot touch, nor can anything come upon us that can harm us, because we know we are the Lord's. Our souls have been saved. I don't know about you, but I believe in the saving grace of God. I too believe that man is twofold. You know, Jesus said, I believe it was in the 10th chapter of Matthew, he said, don't fear those that are able to destroy the body, but fear those that are able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Listen, every person who's really repented their sins and put confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ experiences the salvation of their soul. In 1 John, it says that his seed, the seed of God, remaineth in us, that we cannot sin because we are born of God. There's something that takes place deep inside of every person who is really a child of God that gives them confidence, that gives them assurance, that provides them help, that provides them stability and strength under any and all calamities of life. He says in this first verse, he says, a God of the Lord, he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Do you know the Lord to be a Lord of refuge? The word refuge in the Hebrew is kamias, which has references, Elohim kazimas, which has reference to us fleeing to or running to for refuge. Do you remember when you were lost and in your sins? Do you remember when you felt the condemnation? When you felt the conviction of the Holy Ghost? Listen, when you really get under conviction, there's only one place to go, and that's God. Amen. I know there's a lot of people, they go to churches and they get baptized, or they go to preachers and they get their hands shaken. They go to their parents and their parents give them some kind of intellectual confidence. But listen, if you are lost and undone, there's only one place where you can find true refuge, and you'll have to go directly to God. That's why we encourage people here at Victory Church to seek the Lord. You know, Jesus said, seek and you shall find. Listen, you need to seek the Lord till you find him. You need to knock on the door till the door's opened. You need to call on the Lord till the Lord answers. Listen, our God is the only one that can tell you that you're safe. But there's more than that. There's more than just a perception that you're safe. There's a real safety in being saved. A real place of refuge in God. He begins to talk about all the troubles, all the heartache, all the suffering that man goes through, whether it's political or whether it's because of war or whether it's because of tragedy or calamity. Listen, I don't care what happens to me. I know my soul is safe. In the 91st Psalm, which I believe is the cancer psalm, I was introduced to that when I was in Memphis. Sister Allen came to me and asked me to use that chapter in her son's funeral. She said when her husband had bone cancer and was dying, and I don't know if you've been around anybody that had bone cancer. It's one of the worst kind of cancers you can have. He was suffering. He was in much pain. And she said that he would read that psalm where it talks about abiding in the under the shadow of the Almighty. Where it talks about in verse 2 that he is my refuge. And though there's pestilence and there's problems and there's difficulties, no matter what kind of calamity, he in that psalm he was talking about experiencing a safety through all of it. Listen, if you've got cancer and you're saved, there's a place inside of you cancer cannot touch. Amen? Amen? Yeah. I'm talking about deep inside of our soul. We tell our young people here at Victory Church, we have a lot of visitors. I just want to let you know, we tell our children here that when God deals with them, he deals with them in a place that nobody else can get to. There's a place inside of each one of us, and God speaks to us there. He deals with us there. Have you ever heard that still small voice? Well, you didn't hear it with the audible ear. You heard it with your heart. Amen. He speaks to the heart of man. He speaks to the heart and lets them know when their sins are covered. He lets them know when their sins are forgiven. Listen, when you go through that experience of true repentance and faith, there's something that takes place deep inside of you. And let me say this, it's more than peace. Sometimes we get to saying, well, it's just peace. No, it's more than peace. Amen. Getting saved is more than peace. It's safety. It's assurance. Listen, I believe that when the Holy Ghost comes into our hearts and sheds the love of God in our hearts, there's a spiritual perception. It's more than an experience.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, there has to be a time and a place in your life that when you repent of your sins and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the wind of God sweeps through your soul, letting you know that you're a child of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're what? The children of God. Amen? Yeah. There's something that transpires at that point in your life that'll never go away. There's something that transpires in that point in your life when you get saved that stays with you all through your life. Listen, I believe in a transformation. I believe in a radical change that takes place in a person's life. Now, you know, some say, well, I didn't see lights, but some do. Paul did. Amen. Some people say, well, I didn't see this or feel that. Well, sometimes people do. That doesn't matter. The point is this. There has to be a time of perception in your life where you know that the blood of Jesus has covered your sins. Your sins. Where that you're no longer a child of the devil, but you're a child of God. And then once you get into that place where you're a child of God, we're in a place where we are sheltered. We're sheltered in the arms of God. We are sheltered from any harm. Listen, there's nothing this world can do to us. It's time the church rise up out of their timidness. I'm going to say it again. It's time the church rises up out of their timidness. It's time for us to rise up out of this weakness. Listen, we are the soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no weapon that can be formed against us that can harm us. Listen, we need to take courage. Bible says, if God, in the 8th chapter of Romans, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody can be against the people of God. The Lord, He's our refuge. The word strength here actually implies that in the Hebrew, it's actually referring to experiencing God's strength. In other words, we have the strength of God. God imparts unto us His strength. Do you believe you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Huh? Do you? Yeah. His strength is imparted to us. And He's a very present. Everybody say present. The Hebrew goes way beyond just Him being beside of us. There's a positive assurance associated. In other words, He is trustworthy. God is, listen to me, God is faithful. God is faithful to His people. He has never forsaken His people. He's always been there for them. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, it says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And the next verse quotes the verse that has reference to Him being a Lord that always helps us. He's always ready to help us. Anytime we're in danger and we go through some kind of earthquake, well, our heart doesn't quake. There's something in us. There's something in us that lets us know. I thought about Teresa's boys and when they went through that automobile accident. I tell you what, you go through some great calamity, it will test your faith. Amen. Yeah, it'll test the quality of it. It'll help you determine whether you really have something deep inside your soul. Because the Bible says that when you lay hold of Him and He is your true refuge, there's nothing that can shake you. You look in the next verse and it says, therefore we have nothing. Look, we have nothing to fear. Therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof. There is a river There's a river. River. There's a river of love. There's a river of forgiveness. There's a river of pardon. There's a river of peace. There's a river that flows from the throne of God. We read in the last chapter of the book of Revelation that when John saw the throne, he also saw a river that went out from it. You look in like the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel saw the vision of the water that came out from beneath the threshold of the temple, went out the east side to the west side. It went down the east side and then down toward the south side. And he went out there to measure it. And he went in, he was about ankle deep. And he measured another 1,000 cubits. And he was a knee deep. He measured another 1,000 cubits. He was waist deep. He went another 1,000 cubits and he was swimming. I mean, he was deep in that water. Lord put him back up on the bank. And there was two men on both sides of the bank and an angel on the middle with both arms raised. You read on down in there how that water that flowed from the threshold of the temple, that it was a water that brought healing. Water that brought forgiveness. Listen, there's a spiritual water that brings healing and help to our lives. If you've never drank of the living water, you need to. Jesus said that if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. There's a water that flows from the throne of God. There's a lot of people that get all hung up when they start trying to do some kind of exegesis of that last chapter, because right in the midst of that chapter, it talks about that water and the trees are on both sides, just like in Ezekiel 47. The tree of life is growing on both sides and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. People get all theologically messed up and think, well, the nations are already destroyed. But listen, if there's any healing, if there's any help for any nation, any person, any people groups on the face of this world, it comes through that water. Yes, if you're sin sick tonight, you can be made well by the water that runs from the throne of God. Jeremiah said the people had went about and they had dug their own cisterns. They wanted their own way of water. But listen, they were broken cisterns. There was nothing in there to quench the thirst. But praise God, there is a river. There is a river, and it flows. It flows by the city of God, a stream that makes glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Listen, this river that flows from the throne of God is a river that you must drink of throughout your Christian life. Now, let me explain this. When we begin our Christian walk, we're unlearned. We've not developed. We've not grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But if you follow the precepts of God's holy word, after you get saved, you'll follow the Lord in baptism. You'll join the church, the city in this particular passage, Zion itself. There's a correlation. There's a connection between the church of the true and living God and the glorified Jerusalem. When John the Revelator was called to come up hither, and he was told that he was going to be shown the bride. And what did he see? He didn't see the bride. He saw the city. The promised, glorified Jerusalem. All of those promises concerning the glorified Jerusalem in the Old Testament. Right there, John saw them fulfilled. I'm telling you, God will keep every one of his promises. Every one of them. Once you get saved, you need to park yourself in a good, sound, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled church. Amen. Yeah. Why? Because there's where the river runs. Yeah. That's where the blessings come. They come upon you. They come upon your spouse. They come upon your children. They come upon your neighbors. Listen, we come to church and we get cleansed by the washing of the water, by the word, the preaching of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the power of God's truth and his doctrines get in our heart, in our life. They change us and help us. And we reflect that image of Jesus like he was talking about the other night, a reflection of Jesus. And you get that from being in church. Amen. The Bible says that God's people come together and they provoke one another to love and good works. Amen. Yeah. They gouge one another. Come on. Come on. Listen, there's a heavenly citizenship that we enjoy. Every saved church member has a heavenly citizenship. Notice what makes the stream. Notice what makes the city effective. Notice here in verse 5. God is in the midst of them. God is with them. God is helping them. God is among them. Do you believe God is with us tonight? Do you believe God is with His church? We have people today that live their Christian life as though Christ has forsaken His church. He hasn't. He commissioned that church in the 28th chapter of Matthew to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And He said, lo, I am with you. He's with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And He said He would be with us even to the end of the world. He's not forsaken us. Amen. He's not forsaken His kingdom. He's not forsaken His gospel. He's not forsaken the doctrinal truths of God's holy word. Amen. These doctrinal truths that we read in God's holy word, the doctrines of the church, the doctrines of the Bible, they're important. Amen. He honors them. He honors a scriptural baptism. He honors when we come together and we have the Lord's Supper the way He has laid it out in His holy word. He honors His church when they come together in one mind and one accord. Amen? When they are prayerful and they are trying to remove sin from their life and they're focused on Jesus, God is in the midst of His church. He's with us. I'll tell you this. I'll just be honest with you. If I didn't think God was here, I'd move on. If you don't think God's here, you need to move on too. I know, put it plain. I know they say I run people off sometimes. This isn't it's showtime kind of place. God is here. God is working. God is moving. God is changing lives. God is revealing sin to people. God is helping people get closer to Him. God is working with them. He's utilizing His people. He works among His congregation. He's in the body of Jesus Christ, and He is illuminating it and making it a light to this world. And it's the only thing that will make it a light to this world is for Jesus to be with us. Some of the scariest verses in all the Bible for the church are those that we read of in the first couple of chapters of the book of Revelation, where He told those churches, He said if they didn't straighten up, He would remove the candlestick. What that implies is that He would desert them. He would move away from them. But He also encouraged them that if they would just open the door, they would open the door. If they had opened the door, He would come in and He would sup with His people. If there's ever been a time when the church needs Jesus among us and in us and supping with us, it's today. I don't know what kind of calamities our world faces. I don't know. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, they're fearful to even bring children into the world. I'm not afraid to bring my afraid of having grandkids. Not afraid at all. You know why? Because God is sovereignly in control of everything that happens on the face of the earth. He is providentially in control. And as long as those children stay near the city, as long as they stay near the fountain that flows from the throne of God, they will be protected, because in that place is a place of refuge. God is there. And He strengthens them. He helps them. Is it your refuge tonight? Can you, like is recorded there in the 91st Psalm, say that the Lord is my refuge? You know, the last time I preached from the 23rd Psalm, I told the story about the man that came across a young shepherd boy. And he thought it would be kind of interesting to teach him the 23rd Psalm, at least the first verse. And he was trying to teach him that, and that the Lord is my shepherd, and told him to use his fingers. Say, the Lord is, you know, my shepherd, I shall not want. And he said, well, now listen, he's got to be more than just a shepherd. He has to be your shepherd. Your shepherd. And he says, when you come to the finger, my, I want you to grab all four fingers and hold them tightly with your hand. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen, he needs to be your shepherd. He needs to be your refuge. That next winter, there was one of his sheep went missing. He went after it that night, and it fell in a snowdrift. When they found that boy, he was dead, and he had all four fingers tightly grasped. He was frozen. Listen, one of these days, you're going to cross Des Chili Jordan, and you need the Lord with you. Yes. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you need to know that the Lord is with you. You need to know Him as your shepherd. You need to know Him as your refuge. You need to know Him as your high tower. You need to know Him as your rest. You need to know Him as your peace and your confidence. You need to know Him as your victory through this life. You need to know Him as your shelter from the storm and your safeguard against any calamity. And you can experience that in your life. No matter what happens in this world, you have safety. There is no earthly refuge. The world is full of insecurities. Listen, there's no safe place here. No. There's only one safe place, and that's Jesus. I mean, safe. Have you ever been gone through something, you know, and you just, I mean, you were right there in the midst of an enormous conflict, whether it was physical, whether it was the loss of a loved one, whether it was through sickness, whether it was through some kind of flood or earthquake, whether you were in the war and you were going through some kind of trouble. Listen, those men out there in those foxholes with all of that, with all the bombs and the rifles firing, you know where they found their refuge? They didn't find it behind some sandbag or in a hole. I'll tell you where a lot of them found it. They found it in the Lord Jesus Christ. They called out upon Him to be their safety. And praise God, He was their safety throughout many wars that this country has fought. When you're in the midst of the most difficult trial of your life, do you have a refuge? Huh? Do you? Have you tested that refuge? Has it been put to the test? Did it sustain you? Did it hold you up? He says, the heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth His voice, the earth melteth, the Lord of hosts, He is with us. No matter what happens to America, the Lord is going to remain with His church. I'm going to say that again. It doesn't matter what happens to America, the Lord is going to stay with His people. God is with us. He's with us. Though the heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. His kingdom cannot be shaken. His kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cannot be moved. He set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Nations rise and fall. Kingdoms rise and fall. Kings rise and fall. But listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, once He rose up to the right hand, ascended up to the right hand of the Father, He sits there and He forever sits there as King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, He's our refuge. The word refuge is repeated throughout this 46th Psalm. It's repeated here. Actually, the Psalm is broken into three distinct parts. Let me read the rest of it and I'll close. Come now, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation. Listen, whatever desolation we experience, we have a consolation as saints of God. No matter what desolation occurs in the earth, there no matter what kind of desolation, we have complete confidence in the Lord. We have a consolation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is with us. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. Be still. Sometimes we need to just be still and know that He is God. You know, I appreciate all the hard work and effort that's put in to a lot of different things in the cause of Christ in the church. But we've yet to glory till God does it. God's going to have to bring power upon us. God's going to have to bless us. God's going to have to do the saving. God's going to have to do the growing, the increasing. It is God who brings the increase. Just sometimes we need to just stand back and let God do His part. I'll never forget a few years back, I was trying to inform somebody. I just told them, I said, you're stepping in the place of God. You're trying to be God. You can't do this. This is God's part. God still has a role. He still has a part to do in the gospel. He still has a part to do in His church. Sometimes church members need to realize it's not their church. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head. He is the one that's leading. He's the one that's the brains of this operation. He's the one that has eternal wisdom. We have to rely upon Him. We have to let Him lead. We have to let Him control. And if you don't like the way the Lord Jesus Christ is guiding and controlling and moving His church, you've got the problem, not Jesus. You need to wise up and realize you can't fight against God. Amen. You just can't fight against God. Be still! Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to receive the glory and honor because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern sky. He's coming back with power and great glory. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Aaron, get a song. Listen tonight, if you don't know Him to be your refuge, He's going to be the one that will judge you. He's the one that will take vengeance upon you because you obey not God and obey not His gospel. He's going to take vengeance upon you with great fire. The Bible says God is a consuming fire and He's coming. The Lord's coming and you need Him as your ally. You need Him as your friend. When I think about the Lord Jesus coming back, I think about my friend coming. My King, the one I serve, the one I love, He's coming for me. My refuge, the one I fled to for refuge and laid hold upon, He is my hope. The Hebrew writer said how when God was going to confirm the promises, He did it with two immutable oaths. How one is how that He cannot lie. And then He says, because we have, He cannot lie because those are they that fled to Him for refuge and have that hope within them. And He goes on in that verse and tells us about that hope. Where is it? It's beyond the veil. It's beyond the veil. We have an anchor of hope beyond the veil. And I don't care where how you push me in this life or how you crush me in this life. That anchor I have in Jesus Christ, it cannot be moved. Amen. That anchor's going to hold. I have a strong consolation. I've taken refuge in He who has all power in heaven and in earth. There's never been an enemy He cannot defeat. Amen? Go ahead and stand up. As He went into heaven in the second psalm, the angel said, lift up ye gates, O ye heavens, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. They said, who is this King of glory? He is the Lord strong in battle. Listen, our Lord Jesus Christ, He brought victory. Victory! There is not a foe nor an enemy here upon the face of the earth that He has not and cannot defeat. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and every enemy is under His feet. Amen. Under His feet. Amen. He's my King. He's my refuge. Well, and He's a present help. He's here tonight to help you. He's here to help me. He's here to help Brother Paul. He's here to help Brother Brown with his needs. Brother Doug, whatever situations you have in your life, He's here for you. He's a refuge for you. And when the wind comes and the rain falls, Those of us that have built our lives on the words of Jesus Christ, Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Matthew, our life, our house, it will stand. Amen. Will not fall. Will not collapse. Because we're on a sure foundation. We're on that, as we sang earlier, the Rock of Ages. Let's sing. Bless you. Is there somebody here? You need to flee. You need to run to Him for refuge. The sin is on you heavily. You need to lay hold of Christ Jesus tonight. He is a safe place. Listen, when you get in Him and He gets in you, your life will never be the same. He'll hold you up by His free Spirit. He'll sustain you and undergird you. He will give you grace in every scenario, in every circumstance, in every situation you find yourself in. His grace will always, everybody say always, always be sufficient. Because the God of Jacob is with us. And He is our refuge. Let us sing.
There is a river.
Have you drank from the living water?
And it flows from deep.
Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. He said there would be a river that would flow from Calvary. They would quench any thirsty soul that would come. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
From sin.
I guarantee you, if you come here with a bucket, you can get a drink of the living water and you'll leave your bucket here. Because God will take up His residence inside of you. In a place where you'll know that you're always safe.
Is
there somebody here? You've never been saved by the grace of God. Run to Him for refuge. Know Him. Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? My shepherd. This thing has to be personal. You have to know Him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your refuge, as your high tower and your buckler and your strength. He has to be your salvation. Do you know Him as your salvation tonight?
The way you see her life is ruined and wasted. And her soul was bound.
Bible says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that out of your belly will flow rivers, rivers of living water.
She met the Master.
Yes, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
He said, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again.
There is a river. Oh, it makes glad the city of God, doesn't it?
And it flows from deep within.
I'm glad it flows in this place. Are you?
There
flows through our hearts and in our lives.
Is a fountain.
Springs up into everlasting life. Just bubbles over.
Frees the soul from sin.
Supply.
There is
living water.
And there is a
They say the story I told you about the little boy who had grabbed his four fingers and was found frozen, that story was told at a vacation Bible school commencement one year. There was a rich man that came and just loved the little children, didn't care much about the preacher or the singer or church in general. Liked the presentation at the conclusion of the vacation Bible school and attended, and that story was told. That week, they found him. He had had a heart attack and died in his living room. And they found him with his hand grasping those four fingers. I praise your refuge tonight. He's mine. This thing has to be personal. He's my refuge. Yeah. And he has to be yours. Yeah.